Open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. We are continuing in our series on authority flow. Literally is a powerful series because without authority, you cannot use power. Right? You may have power, but you don't have authority to use it. There's a lot of people in the United States of America and around the world that are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they have no authorization to use it. This is very important. The difference between power and authority is such an aggressive truth that you've got to grab a hold of. You can have power and not authority. We've used these examples over and over again. I will do it again today. You can be a contractor with power tools loaded up in your trailer, but if you don't have a... You can have all the power tools in the world. You can have all the power in the world, air compressed, electrical, nickel cadmium batteries. You can have all the power in the world, but if you don't have a contract, you're not authorized to get on my property and build anything or break anything, right? You've got to be authorized to use your power. Policemen can have the power of a gun, black powder. That is a very strong power. Bam! But if you don't have your badge, you are not authorized to use that power. So power without authority is wasted. And if you've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, you have power. But what I'm trying to do on this journey, this long journey, is to make sure you don't just have power sitting on a bench. You have power in the fight. You have power in the game. You have power at work. Can I get another amen? So we're continuing this, and we're talking about authority in the context that it flows. Authority is not an org chart. Authority flows. It's fluid. Jesus said when he was talking about the Holy Ghost in John chapter 7, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And then John speaks in parentheses and said, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they would receive. And then it goes on to say power. Power flows by authority. The Holy Ghost is power, but it has to have authority backing it. And so we've been going through that, and we've been using the beautiful photo there to draw your image, and then we've been going to some ugly graphics. If you would give me the little homemade graphic of salvation real quick, we have the authority of salvation, and that is very personal. God to me. God to me. Salvation authority flows, and it flows downward. Everybody realizes God is above you, right? So where is authority coming from? And where are you? I know it's hard to admit. We want to say we're on top, but we really ain't. You have to be under the authority to receive what comes. The old timers used to say, get under the spout where the glory's coming out, right? And we think about that with the rain gutters at our house, right? You can sit there and it is raining. The other day it was raining. Good Lord, we had like 4 inches of rain in one night. It was pouring rain and it's flooded. And then you could stand right on the eave of the roof. But if you've got a gutter system, ain't none of it hitting you. But you look over there on the corner and there it comes out of a spout, probably 60 PSI, just flowing out of there. Because that's the spout where the water's coming out. So if you want to get wet or you want to get water, you have to get under it. You can stand over from a distance and watch it, but you can't be in it unless you're under it. You could be at the top of that waterfall and say, wow, what a beautiful waterfall, but unless you're under it, you're receiving none of it. And in this particular case, we submitted to the cross in repentance, we submitted to the baptism in burial, and we submitted to receiving the Holy Ghost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we submitted to all these things to let salvation flow onto us. But then once we are saved, somebody say, I have a life to live. We go to the next slide, which shows my lifestyle in kingdom authority. Jesus said, if you're going to see the kingdom or enter the kingdom, you must be born of the water and of the... And what does the Spirit do? What does authority do? What does power do? It's going to flow down. It's kingdom. This is the reason there is any power. We use all these Bible words and we call them Bible words. They are kingdom words. When you hear the word majesty, that's not Shakespearean poetry. That is kingdom terminology, majesty. When you hear throne, that's kingdom talk. When you hear dominion, that is kingdom talk, right? When you hear reign, that is kingdom talk. When you hear rule, that is kingdom talk. When you hear power, that is kingdom talk. Authority, kingdom talk. Submission, doesn't feel like it though, does it? We like all those high and lofty kingdom words, but the word submission is key because you can't be in the kingdom unless you're submitted to the king and to the flow that comes from his throne. So submission is as much a kingdom word as all of those big power words are. And this is where you see submission. First, we have kingdom authority. Everybody say, that's God. Then you have apostolic authority. Everybody say, that's God through men. We got to get comfortable with that. Apostolic comes from kingdom authority. But under apostolic authority is church authority. Apostolic is government. Apostolic is the governing authority of God's kingdom on earth. Why? Because Jesus said, after this manner pray ye. Right? Our Father, which art in... Where is he? He's on a throne. And we're supposed to pray, thy kingdom... Oh, that means it's not here yet. Thy kingdom, it's got to flow down. Thy will be on earth, future tense, as it already is in. You see, this is over and over. This is not me pot-shotting. This concept, this theme is a well-woven thread through a tapestry of God's word that is all about authority and power. It's not say these magic words when you pray. It's not follow this magic formula when you pray or when you work or when you're in church. It's not read this special book. It's not take these seven steps. No, it is purely submission to authority. You'll never, excuse me, you'll never find a book, a widget, a process, a system, a software, an app, any new concept or idea that will ever take the place of submission. It'll never plug you in better. Oh, if I could just pray the prayer of Jabez, then God's going to extend my territory. He ain't. Unless you're submitted. You can pray the prayer of Jabez buck naked on top of the house with a microphone. It ain't going to change nothing. I know that's an absurd image. Please don't think of it too long. God's kingdom has to come to earth. God's kingdom has to work through man. We are now the body of... His physical body is not here. Who is his body? So in order for his kingdom, his authority, and his power to work through his body on earth, it has to flow to earth, and it does so through government, apostolic authority. Last week, I talked to you about apostolic authority and church authority, and we showed you just how bold Paul was to tell the church at Galatia, here's how you will do marriage. And by the way, he even says, Jesus never said these words, but I'm saying them. You remember that? That is either cocky or that is authoritative. What were you about to tell me something Jesus didn't say? Yes, because he has released to me the keys to the kingdom. I am an apostolic governing authority on earth, and I am taking the words that Christ spoke, and I'm explaining them in the New Covenant Church. I am working in the role of government under him. That's how strong Paul was. Not strong as in big. That's how authoritative apostolic ministry is. So you have an apostolic covering. And then that flows into the church. Why? Because the church is the body that has to develop ministers. And so that is governed, the body, the church, is governed by apostolic government. And within the church, there are ministries. Listen to me. Last week we talked about it, but I'm going to give a quick little reference. Because we get saved personally, just us and Jesus, And we don't get a whole lot of church involvement in that. We don't have a whole lot of government involved in that. We don't have a committee, and we don't have anybody to ask permission. We just come to the altar. We repent. We get forgiven. We get baptized. We get redeemed. We get filled with the Holy Ghost. We get regenerated. We didn't have to ask permission for all that stuff. We didn't have to go through an approval process. That didn't have to be in an org chart. I just submitted to God, and He saved me. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But because we start that way, many of us want to continue the rest of our lives that way. Oh, it's just going to be me and Jesus from here out. But what about your pastor? Oh, that pastor, have you seen his Facebook page? Do you know, I heard him say something. We don't want to hear anything from a man or a woman leader for that matter. We don't want to be submitted to humans. We just want to be me and Jesus. Well, you know, me and Jesus got our own thing going on. No, you don't. Salvation, yes. Your lifestyle, God said it would be this way. We can understand it better by and by, and we'll ask Him. But it's not because He thinks human are perfect. And it's not because He thinks the leader that is above you is better than you or perfect. It's because He said, humans, I've always wanted to have a one-on-one relationship with you, but you've always chosen to put people between you and me. And I'm going to let you have what you wanted. For 7,000 years of human history, I'm going to let you have what you wanted. I'm going to let you see. It's going to require grace and mercy and the power of the Holy Ghost for you to learn to submit. Not only that you chose humanity being between you and me, but also because if I don't redeem everything, then I'm not redeeming anything. So I'm going to redeem leaders. And if they'll submit to me, I'm going to flow my authority through them. And so when we get to the ministry concept, a lot of people feel, well, I've got a calling between me and God, and I don't need nobody checking on me. Can I get somebody to just at least give me some eye contact right about now? Oh, me and God, He's gifted me with this gifting, and He's gifted me with that gifting, and He gifted me with this particular thing, and I operate in that autonomous from the church. You have lost your ever-loving mind. You are not an independent agent from the church. You are a member of the body. Amen? And if you are a member of the body, then how can the hand say, I have no need of the arm? More importantly, we're not worried about the arm. I have no need of the head. When did the brain start, the hand start having its own brain? But see, that's what we think. I'm a member. I've got an ability. I've got to get nobody. There's only one other person in this body that can do what I do. I'm a hand. There's the other person. There's only one other person that can do what I do. Me and God have something special. Separate yourself from the brain and see how functional your little hand is. Sever that beast and lay it on the table and tell it to go get you a glass of tea. Go get me a glass of tea. It might twitch a few times, but then it's going to do this. And rigor mortis is going to set in, and that beast is going to be worthless. That's what happens when you sever from the body. I don't care how gifted the hand might be. I don't care how gifted the foot might be. I don't care how called the hand might be. It is attached to the body. The body is the church. And you running amok, trying to do independent, autonomous ministry with no covering, not only is dangerous to you, but it also disconnects you from authority. You are doing a work that is not authorized. I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost now. I'm not looking at notes because this ain't in my notes. This is God talking to someone right now. Somebody is getting a revelation of why they can't be detached from the body and why they don't walk around telling the head what they're going to do. I thank you for the affirmation. I did not think there'd be a whole lot of hand claps on that statement. But it doesn't change that it's true. So the independent members of the body have got to be in submission to the body, one to another, and to the head, most importantly, which is Christ, the head of the church. There's got to be, well, I told you, it's me and Jesus. Yeah, but there's an arm between you and Jesus. There's a shoulder between you and Jesus. Anybody with me right now? There's a neck between you and Jesus. Ain't nobody walk around like this. I'm a hand. You look like a buffalo. Or you look like a moose. Or an elk. There is no one that's just a hand attached to the head. That's the absurdity of you thinking that your personal ministry is separate from the body and just connected to Jesus. Put your foot up there. It looks even better than the hand. You know what it really is? There's some behinds attached. That's what it is. They had a name for that in sixth grade. In sixth grade. Ministry is not separate from the church. Just try it a while. You might get affirmation from going to places and visiting people and praying for people and them telling you how awesome you are, but you ain't getting nothing done. You ain't getting nothing done. That's why the word apostolic literally translates from the Greek sent. You can't send yourself. You must be sent by a governing authority. You may be filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and not be apostolic. You might be Pentecostal. Pentecostals are filled with the Spirit. Apostolics are governed by the Spirit. You say, but I believe the doctrine. Doctrine is only one element of being apostolic. Demonstration is a very big, important part of being apostolic. And demonstration only happens by power. And power is only released by authority. And authority only comes through submission. There it flows. All right. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Everybody say, ministry is always a part of the church. Everybody say, ministry is not a solo act. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And God hath set some, say these three words with me, in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. This passage repeats some of the titles listed in Ephesians that we read last week. But then it starts listing ministries and not just offices. You notice the change there? Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles. We don't have a miracles on our org chart. You know, it'd be like me saying, would the care director please stand? Yes, there's Sister Kamen. Would the ministry training director please stand? Yes, that's Brother Tom. Excellent. Would the miracles please stand? Doesn't fit, does it? That's what they're saying right here. But he's making it abundantly clear. Some of the function of the church is offices. Some of the functions of the church is demonstration. But all of them, regardless of title, have a pecking order of priority and authority. And if we had our way, I can tell you most of the Pentecostals in this room would put tongues up at the top. But it ain't there. I can tell you 99% of the pastors in the United Pentecostal Church would put pastors at the top. Because we think we are the Mac Daddy. We ain't even first in the fivefold ministry in Ephesians. No. And I can say I are one. I'm a pastor. I ain't at the top of the heap. It don't take me being around Bishop Chester Wright more than 3 minutes to know I ain't at the top of the heap. I mean, between the airport and his hotel, I know I don't even know if I'm on the heap. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, governing authority. We don't like that, but there it is. There's no way around it. You're not above it. You're not next to it. You're not separate from it. You're under it. Secondarily, prophets. Whoa. Wait a second. Prophets? Yes, because prophets guide. They give an authoritative logos or rhema to the church that gives direct. Apostles govern, prophets guide. Thirdly, teachers. Well, what about preachers? He said, preaching is foolishness. In our movement, preaching is the junk. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how much the junk preaching is in our great apostolic movement that I'm a part of and that you, some of you, are a part of. So, it's funny. We've got this weird kind of pecking order and these weird nomenclatures that we give to people and titles that kind of have these weird definitions that aren't written anywhere in the Bible. It's just kind of our culture. They're culture. They're not biblical. Everybody say biblical is not always cultural. Right. Cultural is very rarely biblical. All right. So in our culture, not in our truth and our doctrine, but in our church culture, preaching is celebrated above teaching. Anybody that's been around Pentecost for more than 25 years, am I saying the truth? Preaching is celebrated more than teaching. In fact, there's these interesting little tones that we have in our voice. Like, for instance, there are times that I'm invited to preach at a conference. Everybody say, preach. That is usually going to happen at night. That is usually going to happen with the larger audience, right? That's usually going to happen at prime time because we love preaching. Because we think we know what preaching is. Preaching is, hey, I've come to tell somebody. Jesus wants to heal. I never can do that. I never can do that. Great. I don't do it well anyway. Now I won't be able to sing for 3 weeks. Preaching. Inspirational. Uplifting. Yelling. I yell sometimes. But, so, I've been invited to be a preacher at conferences. But I'd say at least 50% of the time, maybe more, I've been invited to be a teacher. And so, you know, you get a call from a friend, hey man, I saw that you're preaching Arkansas camp. Yeah. Well, are you preaching at night? Oh, you're the day teacher. There's six people. One of them is your wife. The other five are like, I thought there was going to be preaching. And then they leave. No, I'm teasing. It's not quite that bad. So I told you about the time that I was the day teacher for Arkansas camp and Lee Stone King was the night preacher. Yeah, but his flight got canceled and he couldn't get there. Yes, the dude that raises dead people. And there was no way for them to get anybody else but the day teacher. Oh, he'll do it. Oh, he'll do it. I was like, hey, are you kidding? What? They were rolling dead bodies onto campgrounds. I thought we were packed. I thought we were packed every day. Bro, when I came out of my little cabin and was driving my golf cart up to the tabernacle, I had no place to park my golf cart. That many cars were there on Friday night. And as I walked in the back door of the tabernacle, there was the entire district board with their wives in the green room going, it's like I was coming into a viewing at a funeral. We're so sorry. We're sorry. We're so sorry. We're sorry. Sorry. Anything that we can do, you let us know. He looks so natural. Anyway. So. When I come up, everybody's on the platform and I'm sitting up there. They've been seeing me all week. They've been hearing me all week. It's been a good crowd. It wasn't six people. It was a great crowd. We had a great time. I enjoyed my role. I love that role. I have no problem with it. But on Friday night, I'm not kidding you. I could look, there was standing room only, people packed out in the foyer, looking through the windows on the side of the building. And I could see people going, We're Stone King. I brought my dead husband. Has he? In fact, I killed my husband for a church and brought him. You know. So I'm not kidding you. I come up to the pulpit. They're all like, everybody's slow blinking. And I'm like, all right, I'm not kidding you. There's no way to bluff it. There's no way to fake it. I got too much hair to be Lee Stone King and too bad of a posture. But I said, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to be with you. And let me just say right now, there's nobody more disappointed that Brother Stone King isn't here than me. First of all, because I had been in a car accident when I was 16 years old and had severe back pains, and then I went to a meeting in Tampa, Florida, where he was ministering, and when he prayed for me, my back was miraculously healed. I would love to see him. I would love to thank him. I would love to watch him, let the Holy Ghost flow through him for your healing and demonstration tonight, but he ain't coming. And I said, now, if you're expecting me to bring revival in my suitcase, I don't travel that way. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to preach a word of faith, and then it's going to be up to you. If you want miracles, signs, wonders, salvation, and restoration, and deliverance to happen in this house, I'm going to do my job. The question is, are you going to do yours? And all of the above happen. They literally had to carry me out of the service while it was still blowing off steam. Backslidden kids of district board members and pastors running down the aisles to come pray. Not because of my sermon, because power was operating through their faith and submission to God's word. Had nothing to do with whether I was a day preacher or a night preacher. Right? So this concept of being a preacher and this concept of being a teacher, we don't elevate teaching very much. We like to elevate preaching. And teaching, the reason I think sometimes because teaching will make you change your life. Preaching makes you feel a little bit better about your life. And the apostle said, no, teachers are next. After that, miracles. What do you mean, miracles? Miracles ain't at the top? No. Although all Christians are running around to tent crusades and faith healers and go on TBN, I want to see somebody get healed and da 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 da. No, healings is, miracles is way down the list. Then the gifts of healings, then helps. Sister Sandy, we just honored Sister Sandy for 15 plus years of being our secretary treasurer. But if you really want to honor her, sign up to be in the access team. She still leads that ministry. You want to honor? Be involved in helps ministry. Because every ministry that comes from this church needs help. People that don't have to be theologians and scholars. They don't have to have been 25-year saints. All they have to have is a willing heart and available hands. Helps is listed above the ones that we would normally list. Governments. This word government is not the same as apostolic government. It is administrations. Nobody wants to sign up to be involved in administration at the church. Administration, does that mean I work a stapler? Maybe. Does that mean I make copies? It could. It could also mean that you make important phone calls because, listen to me, if you're ever going to be involved in leadership, if you're ever going to be involved in an authoritative position, listen carefully. There are two words that you better learn. Or you'll never be fruitful in ministry. One is communication. The second is coordination. And they are very different. Communication means the team leader and the team members talk to one another. Can I get an amen? Not, oh, I just assumed she was going to get it done. She knows what it is. I just assumed she's going to get it. Stop assuming. Governments and administration gets rid of assumptions. People that want to stand up and wave their arms and do superstar things, they don't like being bothered with administration. But the problem is your ministry never comes to fruition because you don't administrate well. You think you do, but you don't. Well, I sent an email. That's communication. No, you lame-o. Follow up now. They got 400 emails today. You sent them one. Call and say, hey, I sent you an email. Please reply. Follow up with a text that says, hey, I sent you an email. Let me know if you get it or not. Following up is administration. Popping an email is a cop-out. Y'all are like, I ain't never going to be in LA. That's probably true. Administrations is an important part of ministry. Just ask our admin team that connects all of y'all's dots. Y'all think they're just sitting there answering the phone? No, they're making people talk to each other that don't. Did you call Brother Daryl about that, or did you just run off and start a church? did you call Brother, did you tell, wait a second, did you talk with Brother Ryan about that, or did you just show up at Brother Tom's class on Sunday morning? Oh, we heard that it was happening, so we just, admin is always the glue that is pulling things together. Administration is part of the body of Christ, and it's listed above tongues. Well, I speak in tongues in church. Yes, but do you talk to your team member every once in a blue moon? No, I just talk in tongues. Well, praise God. Tongues is more important. Tongues is more spiritual. No, it's not. It's not. Administrations. God set some in the church. Don't you dare raise the gifts of the Spirit or tongues above these elements of ministry that are critical to the body of Christ. Just because you get goosebumps when you do it, or because you feel emotions when you do it, or because people come up, thank you for obeying, thank you for surrendering yourself to the Holy Ghost. You know who you need to thank? You need to call the admin office and thank the admin office. Thank you for making the copies I should have made last week. Oh, snap. If this mic didn't cost $550, I'd drop it. That's who you need to thank. Don't come and thank the person who spoke in tongues. The Holy Ghost spoke through them. Thank God. The Holy Ghost ain't going to run stapler. The Holy Ghost ain't going to make phone calls. The Holy Ghost isn't going to greet people that show up here then their son was killed last week. Ain't no people speaking, open the door, he-bo-bo, oh-bo-bo-bo, my son died, he-bo-bo-bo-bo. What's that going to do? Come on in, have a seat, let me get you a cup of coffee. Oh, now we're talking. Hold on 1 second. Let me find out if we can get somebody connected. And boom, because people are coordinating and hunting and finding, we get connected and we do ministry. And we walk in. By the end of it all, Brother Leonard, you didn't know none of that junk was going on. Had no idea it was going on. But that afternoon, somebody got a hold of Brother Leonard and said, hey, Brother Leonard, we need you and your sister Vicky, you and your sister. You and sister Vicky, your wife. We got to get rid of this brother and sister business. We really do. It sounds like a cult. Anyway, you know it sounds like a cult when you're at the mall. Hey, brother so-and-so. And everybody's like, oh, brother. Yeah. Anyway, these two got a phone call and said, can you go over to this house located in East Mims? Mother just lost her son. They need peace. They need comfort, but it needs to come from the Holy Ghost, not from your flesh. They walked up in there with authority and power because administrations had been done to get them there. And it wasn't nobody speaking in tongues until y'all showed up. If administration doesn't happen that day, there is no speaking in tongues in their living room. Because when the two walked in and said, let's join hands and pray, bam, the Holy Ghost fell. And they turned into a Pentecostal prayer meeting right there with people that should have been in mourning and grieving. You'll get to tongues, but make a phone call for God's sake. Send an email, follow up with a text, and hear me one last time as I move quickly. When I ask you to do something, do it. Don't find five other ways to do it. Don't do three other ways that you think it'll be quicker or delegate it to six other people. Hear me. I'm going to speak it to you in the Greek. Get done. I think I'll go pray and speak in tongues. No, just do it. You see the order. He doesn't say, here's some random things. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Do you remember Paul saying, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I would that you would prophesy. He says, covet the greater gifts. Oh, you mean they're not all equal? No, they're not all equal. They're not even equal in the church. They're not even equal to administrations. We got to get a realignment, because here's the deal. We're about to have SharePoint spread all over this region. And I'm going to promise you, 9 out of 10 jobs and core ministries that are in those SharePoints will not involve speaking in tongues. And if that's your little delineator for whether or not it's spiritual, you're not in the book and you're not going to be used. I'm preaching this not to pick a fight with you, but because I know God has called you to a greater ministry and God has a greater work for you. And he wants to do it for the glorification of the body, not of your flesh. And if you'll simply do what is asked of you by the ministry and the church and the apostle and the kingdom, you'll get his will done instead of your own, and we'll all go to heaven with a lot more people behind us. I got to tell you this now, or I'll end up telling you it later. When you try to tell the deacon of your SharePoint and the minister of your SharePoint, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to be there this week. I'm going to a such and such prayer meeting. We're going to be praying in tongues tonight. I'm not going to be able to be there. You're fired. The one phrase I could get our president to say that I would probably stand behind 100%. You're fired. Find your place in this kingdom that God has placed you and submit. Why? So authority can flow through you and through the ministry that you're involved in. And watch God do the supernatural instead of us celebrating your natural abilities. Here's the problem. It's not that any of us are bad people. It's not that any of us are selfish, evil, wicked people. No, we have not been taught this. Now you are. And you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for it from this day forward. Notice I said the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is whether you go to heaven or hell. The judgment seat of Christ is once you're in heaven, now God is going to judge the believer. And it ain't about you going to hell. It's about the honor that he grants you for being the worker, the laborer, the good and faithful servant that he called you to be. And if all you got when you get up there, I spoke in tongues every time I got together with people. Well, praise God. What was I able to do through you? Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Let's read. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. Who are the 12? Everybody say, apostles. Yeah. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. I've heard a billion Christians. I really like our pastor. He's willing to get out there and get his hands dirty. I saw him working and unplugging a toilet the other day. You know what? I unplug toilets when there's no one else to do it. My arms have been up in the retention pond drains occasionally. I've been on the roof and cleaned out gutters, and I will still. There is no job that is beneath me. But look here. If impressing you with me doing the job you ought to do is what you're asking, don't be impressed. Because you know who I'm working for? I like him. He's down to earth. Here, he was down there working when I should have been. He could have been out turning a town upside down, but instead, he was doing what I should have done. Look how bold the apostles. This is government. It is not reason. Translate that from the old English. It ain't smart. Bring it to the 21st century. It don't make any sense that we should wait tables and leave the word of God and prayer. Does that sound arrogant to you that an apostle would say something like that? That's a surefire way to get unelected as a pastor of a church, because people like humility. No, they like someone doing their job for them. I heard a pastor one time at a conference. He was preaching, and he talked about, I'm honest to goodness, the title of the series, of the session that he was asked to speak was Breaking the 100 Barrier. And I'm like, is that the vision? You're in a city of 50,000 people and you're only going to get 100 people in your church? Breaking 100. And he began to talk about the days of, he said, you know, I take great pride in the fact that Saturday morning comes around and church people drive by and they wave at me and I'm sitting on the tractor mowing the church lawn. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with a pastor mowing the grass occasionally, so forth and so on. That's fine. But wait, if you've got 100, ain't nobody that could do that? Oh, it's getting quiet. Y'all got to pick. Is he arrogant or is he right? Hey, pastor, going to the beach. I really appreciate and love you. Here's my fake tithe. So I want you to mow the grass. He says, I'm very proud of the fact that I'm like, you could be mentoring 5 men, training and equipping them to be preachers of the gospel, but no, instead, you're mentoring a snapper. You ain't getting no brownie points with me, bro. And I'm not sure what the Lord thinks about it, to be honest with you. Because no sooner had they started a church in the book of Acts that all the people started food fighting. The Greek women were fighting with the Jewish women saying, we're not getting the same amount of food as the Jewish women, and this ain't fair. They had a big food fight, and they brought it to Peter. And Peter said, are you kidding me right now? Don't bring the food fight for me. Dear God, it doesn't make no sense for me to deal with y'all's little food fight. It is not reason for me to leave prayer and the study of God's word to come out here and wait on your tables. That's what Peter said. In the book, it's written. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye at among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who may appoint over this business. I'm going to delegate this responsibility and this work to somebody else. I've got other things that God has called me to do. You know what this job was? Serving oatmeal to the widows. How spiritual does that feel? I wonder how much tongue talking was going on with that. Hello, Sister Edith. Hello, Sister Naomi. Yee bobo to you. I wonder how Holy Ghost that felt. I wonder how much prophesying was going on. No, they're feeding the widows. Jude said, pure and undefiled religion is caring for the widows and the fatherless in their hour of need. They were doing the work of a servant whom ye may appoint over this business. He said, no. And you look here. Some of y'all are like, man, got all these strict rules, all these guidelines for being in ministry. Look here. He said, in order for you to spoon out oatmeal to the old ladies that don't even remember your name when they walk off, you better have the Holy Ghost. You better have a good reputation, and you better operate in some wisdom. To serve oatmeal? Yes. And y'all are worried because I want our Sunday school teachers to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost and separated from the world? You better believe that ain't fitting to change, ever. Well, it's too much. You just want volunteers. I don't want no volunteers. Volunteers are for Tennessee. No. We're in the priesthood. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. A holy nation. That's what we are. We're in kingdom authority. And when we're in kingdom authority, and when we're in kingdom ministry, power and authority flows through us because we are. And if you can't submit to a cheap little piece of paper called guidelines, see ya. That's the least God's going to ask you to do. That's the minimum He's going to ask of you. You ask anybody in this place that has any power and authority in their life, and you're going to find trials and tribulation and hardship and demonic attack, sickness and affliction in their body. I'm preaching the truth right now. Their spouses are under attack. Their children are under attack. They're under constant conflict. And you're saying, I'm worried about page 2 of the guidelines? Submission places us in the position of authority and power. But we will give ourselves, he said, just in case y'all have to know, this is what I'm going to do while y'all are serving. This is what I'm going to be doing while y'all are spooning the oatmeal. We will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. And this is the greatest miracle that ever happened in the New Testament, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. The whole church was like, all right, that ain't never happened since that day. There hasn't, not one time has that happened. Church looked around and said, sounds good. That ain't even happening right now. Some are like, I ain't coming back next Wednesday. I'm going to be here Sunday. I'm leaving right now. The saying pleased the whole multitude. What was the whole multitude? 8,120 people. Imagine getting 8,000 people to agree. That's a miracle. You know what does that? Mm-hmm. What to hold the Holy Ghost? What is it, sis? The Holy Ghost does it. Yeah, yeah. The Holy Ghost doesn't do nothing until you bow your knee to the Holy Ghost. Submission. Now, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. Watch this. They physically walked these seven men up and placed them between the apostles and the church. Right in the authority flow. And those men bowed their knees, not to Peter, but to the God that Peter represents. They bowed before those apostles, and the apostles said, we release authority to you. Some of y'all be like, Peter, you really got to release authority to somebody for oatmeal? I mean, come on. Y'all, aren't you making a big deal out of nothing right now? No. Every ministry is part of the body. Every ministry requires submission to authority and the flow of the Holy Spirit. And when they had laid their hands on them, what was that about? That's about being Pentecostal. No, it's about them being submitted to someone, placing their hand on their head, saying, I am transferring something to you that you don't have by yourself. Are y'all hearing me? Listen to me, because you need to understand this. Some of y'all know it not by intellect, but by experience. You were praying, and in somebody, not the person, but an office or a function that is truly submitted to the authority that's above them, walked over and put their hand on your head and said, in the name of Jesus, or in the name of Jesus, or in the name of Jesus. And it didn't matter whether it was loud or soft. Bam! The Holy Ghost hit. And you felt the power of God release into you. Why? Because there was authority. Not because that person's hand is bigger and better than yours. Not because they got magic powers. No, because they are submitted to the authority above them. And therefore that power is flowing through them. And it's hitting you between the eyes. Laying on of hands is a significant part of Pentecostal prayer and apostolic ministry and worship. But it's not about touchy-feely, and it's not about you. Listen to me, pastors, preachers, ministers. It's not about you dominating people with your big old hand. Their head is not a basketball. You ain't here to palm them and toss them into the goal. That's not what's happening. You are saying, I am submitted. If you ever lay hands on somebody's head and you're not submitted to the authority that's above you, you might as well just go up and knee them in the forehead. You're not doing anything for them. You can't transfer what you have not got. You can't transfer anything to them if you're not in submission to what's above you. It's not your title. Oh, well, we don't lay hands on people because they're not a preacher. That's what Pentecost does. Only the preachers lay hands on people's heads. Okay, I know a lot of preachers that aren't submitted to authority that's above them. You better not put your hand on anybody in this church. That's why you don't see people willy-nilly walking around here laying hands on people's heads. It's not about their title. It's not about their position. It's about, are they submitted to anyone? Because what are you transferring? Sweat? Bacteria, maybe? You're not transferring nothing if you ain't submitted. They laid hands upon their heads. And verse 7 says, and the word of God increased. Wait a second. How did the word of God increase? Because guys were serving oatmeal. Because Peter wasn't serving oatmeal. you do the math there? Because Peter didn't have to stop studying, praying, and preaching to go serve oatmeal. He could go pray, preach, and minister the word while they were serving oatmeal, and the word of God increased. What would have happened if Peter would have had to serve the oatmeal? The word of God would have. Do you get the math? But that's not the only reason the word of God increased, is because this, look what happens. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, everybody say table server. Everybody say oatmeal boy. And Stephen, full of faith and power, how'd he get it? Submission to authority. Full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, referring to the people of the temple. So when Stephen was done serving the old ladies, and when Stephen was done cleaning out the grease trap, and when Stephen was done washing the dishes, he went to Peter and said, "Hey, Pete, is it okay if I run to the temple? All the work in the kitchen is done. Everybody's been fed. Can I run to the temple for prayer?" Absolutely you can. "Would it be all right if I get an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ?" Absolutely. You do that, bro. He submitted. He asked. And then he went to the temple. And most of the temple conversions that took among the scribes and the Pharisees were because of Stephen's ministry. That's another reason why the word multiplied. If you will submit to the task that you're being asked to do today, then God will trust you with the task He has planned for you tomorrow. And that will be the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because every man, woman, and child in this house is supposed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Carnal people always demand attention and response from the top. Write that down. I could tweet it if I knew how to tweet. Carnal people always demand attention and response from the top. They won't ever talk to anybody at the bottom of the food chain. They won't ever talk to anybody. "I want to talk to the pastor." It'd be so funny if the pastor called you on Sunday morning. "I thought you wanted to talk to me. Where are you at?" "That offended me. He called me." "Yeah, but you want to talk to a pastor. You can say whatever. But I can't call you on Sunday at 10:35? Or 11? Or 12? Or 3? No, I'm not going to call you. Because I'm not trying to bring compliance. I am not trying to bring compliance. Roll call and attendance forces compliance. Authority doesn't flow to compliance. Authority flows to submission. It's free will. "Oh, you preach hard like you're looking for compliance." No, I'm preaching hard because I love you and I fear for your soul and I don't want to see your purpose and destiny short-circuited. I want you to fulfill exactly what God has called you to be and do. And I'm intense about it because I'm going to answer to God one day for how many people I raised up, equipped, trained, and sent into the mission field. And I believe you are a prime candidate to do that. But I can't make you. But I can preach it hard. And I can preach it straight. Submitted people always start their requests at the bottom. Always. Manipulative people work it from the bottom to the top. So it looks submitted, but it ain't. Everybody say manipulation is lying. When the whiners complained to Peter about the food prejudice in the church at the top, because that's what carnal people do, his answer was not politically correct. It is not wise. It makes no sense. It's not smart. It's not effective. It doesn't align with the mind of Christ for us to do this. The position these seven men were given were called deacon. In the English language, it's deacon. In the Greek, dikaneo. You also see dikaneo in 1 Timothy chapter 3 when Paul tells Timothy this is what the deacons should do in the church some 30, 40 years later. These laborers, everybody say deacon. These laborers serve the leaders and they serve the flock. Like bishops, pastors, and elders, deacons are given a very strict set of guidelines in the Bible to be qualified for their post. We are going to have deacons in this church operating in our SharePoint ministries. And they will serve the minister of that SharePoint, and they will serve the people who are in that SharePoint, and they will be involved in administrations. But they will minister, and they will have authority, and they will have power from God. These seven men in Acts bowed. They submitted between the apostles, everybody say apostolic authority, and families, everybody say the church. That is where ministry authority is. Deacons are a good representation of ministry authority. If we could go back to the stair-step waterfall, please. Ministry is where the deacons would fit. Between the authority of the church and the authority of the family, ministering to the body. Every authority that we see in the early church and today's church flows from the kingdom. Through men that God has placed in our lives, our own personal and group ministries are only empowered and authorized from above. But you will see in any ministry or leadership role that is only the willingness of people to submit that allows you to have authority. In other words, if someone is not submitting to your leadership, you are not leading them. And the answer is not to come down and put the screws to them and make them comply. The answer is to pray, bring spiritual authority to bear, have your covering involved, and see if the Holy Spirit will bring them into submission, because you cannot. It's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't. That would be compliance, to make the horse drink. The horse has to be thirsty. Workers, team members, you can't make them submit. This has taken me a long time to learn, but I have learned it. You may have the power from God or man, but authority is given by man and accepted by man. There's no way around it, folks. There will be a human being between you and God until the trumpet sounds. And you better get used to it, or you have no place in church ministry. 1 Corinthians 11:1. This is tight, but you need to hear it. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Because we can talk about what's happening in the church, but you don't want me getting up in your house. Ding dong. Oh, you got Ring. Be ye followers of me. Paul's talking, not Jesus. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. What? Paul, you gave ordinances? Yes, ordinances, as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. We don't like the word head. Paul simplifies the flow. Christ is the king. Paul says, I submit to Christ. You, Paul says, the church, pastoral authority, Timothy, pastor at Corinth, you submit to me and to the ordinances that I give you. No, I just talked to Jesus. No, it's not what Paul said. And he said, husbands, you submit to pastoral authority. Wives, you submit to your husband. Ain't nobody preaching from this passage no more. Children, you submit to parental authority. Oh, you'll find that in Colossians. Kids are like, I didn't read that. I didn't read that anywhere. Thank God you can read. You'll read it in just a minute. Submission is not forced. See, the problem with that passage of scripture in the 30s, 40s, and 50s is that the pastor came into a building, bam, kicked the door open and said, everybody get down on your knees and bow to me right now and do everything I say right now. And they wielded that kind of compliance over their churches. I said it's going to be like this, and this is how it's going to be. And if not, you're going to hell. You ain't the judge of whether people go to heaven and hell, Pastor. You're just a preacher. But they used to say that. And they wielded more authority than God had given them. And so they started saying things that weren't necessarily true. And the pastor not only kicked, the husband was like, I kind of like that kick the door thing. And the husband came home. Had a rough day at work. I think I'm going to yell at my wife. Boom! Woman, where's my dinner? Oh, my God. The next time they came, woman, where's my woman? That's ridiculous. That is not what that passage tells us to do. That is not what that passage is drawing a picture of. It is saying, when the pastor comes into the church and the families are gathered for church and the pastor preaches the message, husbands, you don't go home and take that message and say, now, family, this is what I think about that and believe against that. This is what you should do. I don't support what the pastor just preached. There's a lot of parents that have done that over the last 20 years being a part of this church. And their kids are scattered here and yon and confused to high heaven because their parents undermined the pastoral authority that God placed over their life. And their kids don't listen to pastoral authority to this very day. Because they, at dinner time, they had steak, potatoes, and the pastor for supper. He wasn't saying that the pastor's supposed to kick the saloon door open or the husband's supposed to kick the door open and everybody's supposed to bow and scrape like slaves. That's compliance. He's saying, I just want you to understand what the pecking order is and how headship and authority flows. And pastor in Corinth, if you want authority, you've got to be submitted to me, the Apostle Paul. Husbands, if you want authority in your home, you need to be submitted to your pastor. Wives, if you want authority in your parenting and in your life and livelihood, you need to be submitted to your husband. It's all about the authority flow. It's not about Paul holding all the authority. It's about Paul releasing authority to the pastor. It's not about the pastor holding all the authority. It's about him releasing it to the ministry and to fathers. It's not about the husband coming to the home. I'm the king of this castle by God and everybody going to do exact. No, it's about the father releasing power and authority to his wife and to his children. You get it? It's about the flow of authority, not the possession and ownership of it. That's the difference in the view. If you look at authority of something that flows, then this verse doesn't offend you. But if you think of authority as something that is owned and possessed, this scripture offends you. Because in this case, a pastor would have no authority, only Paul would. Or a husband would have no authority, only the pastor would. Or a wife would have no authority, only the husband would. That is not what authority does. It flows. Does this make sense? And so that passage of scripture ought not to offend you. If it offends you right now, look at me, you are not submitted. Period. When it flows, kingdom authority flows freely to all in the downline. If we could put that little stair step back up there again. Authority flows to everybody in the downline. To the family and even to the person in the family. Go to Colossians 3 and 18. Now here Paul is talking to the church at Colossae. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Pastor, can we move through this part? We got it already from the other Bible verse. As it is fit in the Lord. 19. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. Not the things you agree about, in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's amazing. I got one amen for the kids, and I got no amens from husbands and wives. Number 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers keep coming up in this over and over again. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. Servants, obey in all. He's going down the list. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. He's even telling them, when you obey your boss, it's not that you're obeying a spiritual leader, you're doing it in the flesh. But watch what he says. and men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, servants, employees, for your bosses, do it heartily as if you're doing it to the Lord. Wait a second. Are you trying to tell me that in submission to my boss, I'm submitting to God? Yes. This don't fit in America, does it, anymore? No, we just changed jobs. We just changed jobs. Husbands, submit to Christ's example. What is Christ's example? Look at me. Husbands, look at me. Husbands, gentlemen. Husbands to be, young men. Husbands, submit. This is what it says. Submit to Christ's example of selfless love. Christ's love for his bride, the church, was selfless. Not selfish. Oh, I love her. Why? Because she looked good. That's selfish. I love her. Why? Because she looked good. Selfless love. He commanded husbands. Listen to me, ladies. I know y'all, I've gotten some amens on some things that I've said, and I think I might have confused people in past messages about submission. And I realize it's a very unpopular message in the 21st century and in the 20th century, but it's still true, and I'm going to preach it. It does not say anywhere in the Bible for a husband to submit to his wife. It says for him to love his wife. Now, let's be clear. It says to the wife, submit to your husbands, as church should submit to Christ. Should Christ submit to the church? But should Christ love the church? He does. And I will promise you that Christ has gone through far more for us, his bride, than we have ever gone through for him. So this isn't about the word submit. It's about the roles we're supposed to play. Stay with me. Children, submit to parents. And it then says, obey them. Why? Because until you understand what submit means, obedience will do. Just obey. Then it says, fathers, submit your flesh. No. It says, provoke not your children to wrath. What does that mean? Look here. If you are a compliance-driven father, if you're a father that wants to force compliance in the home and bring people under the power of your mighty hand, if you're that kind of a father, then you are driven by selfish motives. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter what your right is, what your right to do. God says, I'm the head of the house. That doesn't mean you're the jerk of the house. That doesn't mean you're the dictator of the house. It doesn't mean you're the slave master of the house. It means you're just the head. And so if you are correcting your child, listen to me. Fathers are passing authority to their wife and passing authority to their children. But if you aren't in authority, the only thing you have to pass to your child is the anger that's driving you. So you provoke your children to anger. Why? Because that's all you got, dude. That's all you got to give. Yeah, but it's my job and it's my right. Bye. You'll provoke your children to wrath because your only motivation is anger. Your only source of power is anger. It makes you feel like a big man to be angry. It makes you feel like a big man to be loud. It makes you feel like a big man to crow around and do all this junk and boss people. All you're passing on is anger. You're not passing on authority. Your job is supposed to be to pass authority to your wife and pass authority to your child. Do you see what the Bible is trying to teach us here? I realize this is lengthy, and I realize it's also deep. Then it goes into employees. employees submit to your bosses. That is an unknown thing right now. That's why people are unemployed. That's why people don't get promotions. That's why people have 7 different career jobs in a 5-year period, because they won't submit to somebody and stay there long enough to earn some credence, to earn some pay, to earn some benefits, to earn some respect, because people won't submit. He says, submit to your bosses, and when you do so, do it as unto the Lord, not to the boss. It ain't because the boss deserves it. It's because God deserves it. He gave you the job. And until that boss causes you to conflict with God's word, until the boss causes you to miss out on God's presence and demands you not attend church, which some of y'all are submitting to bosses you should have got in front of a long time ago. But I'm talking about submitting on the job. All submission is unto God, not to man. Children, when you submit to your parents, you are doing it unto the Lord. Wives, when you submit to your husband, you are doing it unto the Lord. Husbands, when you submit to your pastor, you are doing it unto the Lord. Pastor, when you submit to a bishop and a covering that is over you, you are doing it unto the Lord. And what is happening? Authority is flowing down the stair steps into your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. Ephesians 5 and 22. Wives, submit yourself. Good Lord, how many verses do we read about this? You mean that's really in the Bible 3 times? Yes. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands and as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You mean even my hobby? Yes. This concept of you packing up and leaving town and not telling nobody, you are rebellious and out of line. But husband, are you releasing authority to your wife? Because all that has to happen is, hey, hon, let's look at the calendar. What are we doing this next week? I was thinking about going to see so-and-so. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to have to make sure that this is covered and that's covered. Let's coordinate. Let's work together. Very good. You know what? Go have a good time. Authorized. I don't ask permission of nobody. Who said permission? It's called communication. It's called you not being the king of everything in your little life. Without accountability, you're going to shipwreck yourself. Why'd you get married in the first place? Husbands, you don't know it all. You need a pastor. And you also need the intelligence that God gave your wife. Not that you're dumb. You're just smart in a different way. Husbands, look at this. Here it goes again. He's telling it again. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm about to reveal something to you. Paul repeats himself in Ephesians 5 in a manner that he doesn't say in Colossians or in Corinthians. In Ephesians, he's really given caveats to the men. He's given specific instruction to the husbands that we like to gloss over and not read. But I've heard this mispreached, and so I'm going to straighten it out right now. Y'all like that? I'm going to straighten it out right now. Paul repeats himself. Watch this. He clarifies headship. Gentlemen, I want you to say with this, I am the head of my house. Oh, my God, that was sad. If I was a comedian, I would just straight up roll right now. Some of you are like, I don't know. Some of y'all are like, I am the head of my house. Let's try it again. Let's exercise. I really didn't think it was quite that bad, but we're going to do it one more time. Gentlemen, I want to hear it. I am the head of my house, but I am not the Lord of my house. You need to know the difference between headship and lordship. You ain't nobody's Lord. Nobody's. You are the head. That just means you're on top. The head can't even itch, can't even scratch an itch without the hand that's way below it. Head is not Lord. Head is a covering. Now, a husband's love is what God is commanding a man to do. Instead of saying, husbands, submit, do you notice the word submit appears like five times in each of these chapters? But to the man, he always says, love, love your wife. He never says to the man, submit to your wife. He says, love your wife. How? How should he love his wife? As Christ loved the church. Who's our example of how a husband loves his wife? Y'all don't use his last name, Christ. Jesus. He is our example. This is getting so late, I'm saying dumb jokes now. Jesus, listen, Jesus is our example of a godly husband. His love for the church is our example for the love toward our wives. Can I get an amen from the gentleman? Now listen to me. Wives, a man may not have to submit to you. No, a man does not have to submit to you. Not according to the Bible. But he must submit for you. He doesn't submit to you, but he submits everything for you. Do you see the difference in those two words? Let's go. Submit, gentlemen, to taking her pain for healing. Submit, gentlemen, to carry her weight or burdens. Y'all remember the cross? You're not submitting to her. Get that straight. You're submitting to the whipping post for her healing. You're submitting to carry the cross that was her burden before y'all even got married. You're submitting your last drop of blood to purchase her. Why? Because she's worth it. Your last drop of blood. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for his bride. You submit to a burial of the past instead of always bringing it up, so there can be new life for you and your wife. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are following in the footsteps of Christ. You are submitting to the same things that Jesus submitted to. Gentlemen, you submit your old life so that you can have a new life with her. I've always been a duck hunter. Since I was old enough and legal to do it. But when I was a single man, you'd have thought that it was my part-time job. I mean, every time I could get in the blind, I was in the blind. I'm still a duck hunter today at 48 years old. But I submit to dropping, shedding, and putting away old things as a priority to prioritize my wife. So there are days that I promise you, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I would have been in the blind. And it ain't because I'm henpecked. It's because I love her. like Christ loved. I'm not submitting to her. And look, she doesn't come in and tell me, you ain't going duck hunting tomorrow. Oh, I'm going now. You don't tell him what to do. Who in the world do you think you are? You'll be alone. That'll be your middle name. He doesn't submit to you. He submits for you. Now, I want you to remember, the Bible says she is the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean she's dumb. That doesn't mean she needs to be walked on. That doesn't need to be she's forgotten. That doesn't mean need that she needs to be manipulated, pushed away, pushed aside, treated like a slave. That's not what that means. That means she needs to be cared for. All of these things that we're talking about right now, if you'd stand with me, are necessary. Look at me. Because God desires every person in his church. Look at your neighbor and say, that means you. He desires every person in his church to have power. He desires every person in his church to have authority. Not to possess it, to flow with it and release it. I desire this fervently right now, not just because I want to be obedient to the Bible, but because I know the mission that God has called this church to. And I know that for men and women and young men and young women to be powerful and authorized, we're going to have to learn submission. And we're going to have to willingly give it, even when it doesn't make sense. And as we begin to regroup what our SharePoints look like in the month of March, I'm going to begin to train you in SharePoints and what the particular positions are that we work within those SharePoints. I will be revealing that to you. We will be demonstrating it right here on this platform. We will be doing them here on this campus for a while, and then we're going to go to our homes. But I'm going to empower you. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to release authority and power into your lives. But it will not happen if the Spirit does not bear witness with submission. You ain't going to be able to fake this one. And there's going to be weekly accountability to all the leaders. I will know what's happening in every group. And I will visit every group every week. I will alternate groups that I will visit as we go off site. We will be in order. We will have apostolic government. And there won't be no chicanery up in here. And there won't be any solo acts up in here. And there won't be any division or strife in here. We will be in unity. We will be in love. We will be in power. And we will be in truth. God's will has come. His kingdom has come. It's in you. I know I've preached hard and I know I've preached long, but receive it and see what God does in your life.